In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the gospel reading which we just heard, it ended with the words, "And there shall be one fold and one pasture." Every liturgy we hear the words of the creed, and in that creed we say that we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. But what does that mean? What does that mean to us when we say those words? First off, St. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 4, "There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." There's one body with one head. The head of that body is Christ, and the scriptures also say that even the church itself is referred to as Christ's body. St. Cyprian of Carthage, who was martyred in the year 258, wrote in a letter to a certain Magnus about a matter related to a schism in the Church of Rome. There was a priest by the name of Novatian who managed to get himself uncanonically made Bishop of Rome. And he stood in opposition to the legitimate Bishop of Rome, Pope Cornelius. And St. Cyprian was writing to this person to give his opinion on the matter. He says, "The church is one, and as she is one, cannot be both within and without. For if she is with Novatian, she is not with Cornelius. But if she was with Cornelius, who succeeded the Bishop Fabian by lawful ordination, and whom, beside the honor of the priesthood, the Lord glorified also with martyrdom, Novatian is not in the church, nor can he be reckoned as a bishop, who succeeding to no one, and despising the evangelical and apostolic tradition, sprang from himself. For he who has not been ordained in the church can neither have nor hold to the church in any way." So he's saying, there's only one legitimate bishop of Rome. Novatian has set himself apart from him, and they're not both in the church. It's not just some disagreement. It's not that there are two different denominations in Rome now. There's one church, and Novatian is not in it. The same saint, St. Cyprian, in his treatise on the unity of the church wrote, "God is one, and Christ is one, and his church is one, and the faith is one. And the people is joined into a substantial unity of body by the cement of concord. Unity cannot be severed, nor can one body be separated by division of its structure, nor torn into pieces with its entrails wrenched asunder by laceration. Whatever proceeded from the womb cannot live and breathe in its detached condition, but loses the substance of health." So the church cannot be divided. It can't exist in two separated parts. Almost every Christian group claims to believe the words of the Nicene Creed. There are those that say they don't have any creed but the Bible, but even that's a creed. But most Christians say they believe these words. But if you look at the councils that pen the words of the Nicene Creed, the first ecumenical council and the second ecumenical council, if you bother to read their canons, it's very clear that they didn't see themselves as being one denomination and there being other legitimate denominations. They saw themselves as being one church, and if you were not in visible communion with that one church, you were not in that one church that we confess in the creed. This is also evident in the New Testament itself. Christ, when he was talking about how matters are settled between people who have a dispute in the church, says that you should go and talk to him one-on-one to see if you can be reconciled, and then you should bring witnesses. And then finally, you should take the matter before the church. But he says, "And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican." So in other words, if you don't listen to the church, if you're not going to be corrected by the church, you're to be treated as someone who's totally separated from that church. Now, how would that work in a multi-denominational church? If I have a dispute with my neighbor who belongs to another denomination, what church do I take it to? And if my church says that he should listen to what I have to say because I'm in the right, and his church says that he doesn't have to listen to what I say because I'm in the wrong, then there's no way that this could possibly function in reality. Also, when you read the epistles of the apostles, you get the distinct impression that if there had been some church in some city that said, "Well, we're in a different denomination. We share the same faith as you apostles, but we're in a different denomination. We have our own structure." You don't get the impression that they would have accepted that as legitimate. If you read St. John's third epistle, he mentions a particular person who wouldn't recognize him. And you don't get the impression from that epistle that he thought that that was an acceptable way for people to conduct themselves in the church and to call themselves Christians. What does it mean when we say that the church is holy? St. Paul says in Ephesians, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." The final words of the prayer of absolution, of the first prayer of absolution, say, "Reconcile and unite him unto thy holy church through Jesus Christ, O Lord, with whom also are due unto thee dominion and majesty now and ever and unto the ages of ages. Amen." When we sin, to the degree that we sin and don't repent, we separate ourselves from the church. Sin is separates us from God. That's one of the reasons why in the church we're taught to continually repent, to continually say the Jesus prayer, because we don't want our sin to separate us from God. But in the prayer of absolution, we're asking that Christ would reconcile and unite the person who's repentant to the church. That's what happens when you receive the forgiveness that only Christ can give. St. Cyprian, again, in his treatise on the unity of the church, also said this: "The spouse of Christ cannot be adulterous. She is uncorrupted and pure. She knows one home. She guards with chaste modesty the sanctity of one couch. She keeps us for God. She appoints the sons whom she has born for the kingdom. Whoever is separated from the church and is joined to an adulteress is separated from the promises of the church, nor can he who forsakes the church of Christ attain to the rewards of Christ." Because Christ is the head of the church and the church is his body, it's impossible that the church could be impure, and it's also impossible that the church could be an error. We as individuals can sin. We as individuals can be an error. Even parts of the church can fall away into error, but it's not possible for the church, the church of Christ, to be an error or to have sin. What does it mean when we say the church is Catholic? In our day, when we hear the word Catholic, we immediately think about those people who are under the Pope of Rome. But the word Catholic is a perfectly legitimate term, and we are truly the Catholic Church. As a matter of fact, you could even say that we're the Roman Catholic Church, truly, because if you go into for example, to Constantinople, also known as Istanbul, Constantinople is known as the Rum Patriarch. In other words, the Roman Patriarch. The Christians of the Byzantine Empire were the Romans. And so the Roman Catholic Church is truly the Orthodox Church. But of course, it's confusing to people if we were to go around calling ourselves that, because they would get the wrong impression. But truly, the word itself applies to us. St. Cyril of Jerusalem, whose memory we celebrate today, said this in his 18th lecture, his 18th catechetical lecture: "And if ever thou art sojourning in cities, inquire not simply where the Lord's house is, for the other sects of the profane also attempt to call their own dens houses of the Lord, nor merely where the church is, but where is the Catholic Church? For this is the peculiar name of this holy church, the mother of us all, which is the spouse of our Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. For as it is written, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it and all the rest, and is a figure and copy of Jerusalem which is above, which is free and the mother of us all, which before was barren but now has many children." So, as Orthodox Christians, if you go someplace, it's not okay to just go to any church that just might happen to be there. We look for the church that confesses the Catholic faith, which would be the Orthodox Church. And if there is no Orthodox Church in an area and you want to pray, the best thing that you can do would be to stay in your own room and to say your own prayers, but not to join yourself with those that are outside the church. St. Vincent of Lorenz says this. He says, "Moreover, in the Catholic Church itself, all possible care must be taken that we hold that faith which has been believed everywhere, always, by all. For that is truly, in the strictest sense, Catholic, which, as the name itself and the reason of the thing declare, comprehends all universally." The word Catholic, you could translate it, if you were being very literal, as according to the whole. And so our faith is Catholic, and that is according to the whole of the Christian tradition. Now, I should also add that by saying that we are the one church, that we are the Catholic Church, and that those that are not in the Orthodox Church are not that part of that one church, we do not judge those that are outside the church. St. Paul says that God will judge those outside the church. And St. Philaret of Moscow was asked a question by someone, and there's a good article online that you can read that goes into some more detail on the subject, about what do we make of these people who are not Orthodox. And St. Philaret says, you know, they have a Lord who desires the salvation of all mankind, and it's not really our concern. But I can assure you that if you depart from the Orthodox Catholic faith, you will go to hell. So if you as Orthodox Christians apostatize, you have a great responsibility. You will go to hell if you depart from the Catholic Church, according to St. Philaret, not according to Father John Whiteford. I'm just telling you what St. Philaret said. But we don't judge those who are outside the church. And personally, if you want my own opinion, I believe that there are a great many people who have lived in ignorance of the Orthodox faith and have done the best that they knew how to do with the light that they were given, who will be saved. But according to the tradition of the church, everyone who is saved will be in the Orthodox Church. So in heaven, they will be Orthodox, even if they were not in this life. What do we mean when we say that the church is apostolic? What we mean by that is it is the faith which comes from the apostles and has been passed down without adulteration. St. Jude, in his epistle, verse 3, says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." We don't believe that the faith changes over time, or that it develops, or that we develop new doctrines out of thin air. And this is what separates us from what is known most commonly as the Roman Catholic Church. In many ways, they have many things in common with us, and we should recognize that, and we certainly can work with them. I've picketed abortion clinics side by side with Roman Catholics and was very happy to do so, because on that we could agree. And on anything that we can agree on, we should work with them. But as a matter of fact, their faith has had things added to it. They believe in what's called the development of doctrines, and among the teachings that they believe have developed is the idea of papal primacy or papal supremacy, that the Pope is the bishop who has absolute authority over the entire church. He's not just a local church, he's not just the patriarch of the West, but he has complete authority. And it's very interesting that one of the saints of the church who was a pope, Saint Gregory the Great, wrote a great number of epistles in reaction to a title that was given to the patriarch of Constantinople, who at that time was Saint John the Faster. And that title was Ecumenical Patriarch. The reason why he was given that title was because Constantinople was the capital of the empire, and in the Byzantine Empire, the empire was the Ecumene. And so he was the patriarch of that empire. But when it was translated into Latin, it was translated as Universal Patriarch. And so St. Gregory reacted very strongly to this and wrote a whole series of letters in which he said, there's no such thing as any bishop who's the universal bishop. And this was a Pope of Rome. And so when you ask the question, what is the Catholic faith that has been believed by all at all times? Well, we know that that was not believed by even a Pope who was a great saint of Rome. And so we know that that is a false doctrine that has developed over time. And so we do not accept it. We pray for those that are outside of the Orthodox Church. And again, we do not judge them. But our responsibility is to embrace our own faith, and to understand it and to live it. This one holy Catholic and apostolic church is the ark of salvation, and we must diligently endeavor to maintain that unity. This unity is achieved by humility and love. We have to repent of our own sins and allow God not only to make us holy, but to keep us holy. But that requires our active cooperation. It's not going to just happen. It's going to only happen when we allow God to work with us. We must also put away from our lives those things that lead us into sin and avail ourselves to the grace that's found in the church and its teachings, services, and sacraments. And we must not try to conform the church to what we think the church ought to be. And this is especially an important point in our culture, because everybody has their own ideas and they don't feel the need to be humble and to accept the teachings of the church, even those that call themselves Orthodox. But this is a very serious problem. We don't try to conform the church to what we think it ought to be. We need to be conformed to what the church says that we need to be and how we need to live our lives. Because if we arrogantly hold to teachings that are contrary to the church, we will separate ourselves from the grace that is found in it. But if we humbly allow the church to instruct us, it will guide us safely on the path of salvation. Amen.